Oh, great initiative by the Jamaica Stock Exchange. Empowering the Jamaican people to become financially literate. Hey, keep up the good work.
Informative and valuable content that is so easy to follow along. I've learned so much from the Jamaica Stock Exchange and you podcast.
You're tuned in to the Jamaica Stock Exchange and You Podcast, a podcast of the Jamaica Stock Exchange, hosted by Henika Watkiss-Porter, demystifying the capital market. Your path to understanding wealth starts now.
Welcome to another episode of the Jamaica Stock Exchange and You Podcast, a podcast of the Jamaica Stock Exchange. Of course, you know that I'm your host, Henika Watkiss-Porter, and I know that you're really, really going to love this week's episode, which will be breaking down many of those investment terms and terminologies that perhaps you've been hearing bandied about at some point, and you're not quite sure what they mean. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite the professional, the expert, to join me, and that's Denise Marshall-Minow, and she is manager bond trading, equity and stock brokering with the Victoria Mutual Wealth Management Limited. And Denise is going to be taking us through many of these terminologies that we've been hearing about. Welcome, Denise.
Hi, Enika. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I just want you to understand as well, or to let you know that we will be having an audience question, and she's going to come in at some point to ask a question of you because she wants clarity as she forges ahead with investment and investment terminologies and so on. So are we set to go?
We are set to go. I look forward to the question.
Absolutely. So I know that for persons who are new to investing, right, they're encountering many terms that can be a little frightening and off-putting for them, right? So some of these we want to dive into. And recently we've been hearing a lot about IPOs and APOs. So perhaps we need to start there. Let's start with those two.
So that's a good starting point, Eniko. So let us look at IPO. IPO stands for initial public offering. So it's essentially a company that is looking to raise capital, and they're taking the route of selling their shares to investors. So they're coming on not necessarily Jamaica Stock Exchange in Jamaica. It would be the Jamaica Stock Exchange, but they're going on to a stock exchange to go about doing this. So it could be that they're looking to expand their business. They want to take their business to the next level. But this requires capital, and they're not necessarily want to go through the route of going to the banks and borrowing a loan, because, of course, that is going to have some pressure and demand on them to be paying their repayment, whether it be monthly, etc. So taking the route of selling shares, offering a percentage of your public to investors requires essentially you getting that capital for you to take the business to the next level. It does not have that stringent requirement in the sense that you need our obligation that you need to be paying back these investors in a monthly situation, similar to the bank. So it's actually a very good route for a company that is looking for capital, that they would sell a percentage of their company to investors, get that money, and use that money to pump into the business, to take the business to the next level. So what you have also been hearing is also APOs. And APOs are additional public offering. So as the word, as the letter A stands for additional, it is saying that this company is already listed. So the big difference between the IPO and the APO, the I is for initial, it's the first time. APO, the A, additional public offering. So you're already listed on the stock exchange. What you're simply doing is retapping the market, as we would say in our jargon. What you're essentially doing is going back to investors and say, I have a plan which is documented in the prospectus. You definitely would need to share a prospectus for APO and an IPO. And we're looking to raise capital to do these things. And as a result, investors will make a decision to see if they want to go on this journey with this company. Again, it could be existing shareholders or it could be new shareholders, and essentially buy their shares. So this company that has done an additional public offering is simply retapping the market, coming back to the market to say, I want to raise capital to do an additional, take my company to an additional stage of growth, could be for expansion, acquisition, etc.
All right. So now that you've explained the IPO and the APU, I think what we can go into right now is the whole idea of preferred stock versus common stock and stuff like that.
Sure. But just before I go to those stocks, I made mention of a prospectus in sharing the APU and the IPO. And essentially what that is the Bible for the particular offer. It tells you everything about the company, what their plans are for this capital raise, how the company has been doing in terms of their financial performance. It gives you an idea of the persons that are on the board, their governance structure. So the prospectus is that document that is very important that investors ought to read. The brokers, of course, would do the job most of the times for the investors by breaking it down, doing the analysis, and give their recommendation about a particular IPO or APO. So a prospectus, you'll see that around when the company is looking to raise capital. It tells you all about the company, what their plans are, how they have been doing since their existence. So moving into preference shares and ordinary shares. When the company comes to market and sells their shares, they're doing an ordinary share offer. So these are shares that you're buying into the company. The ordinary share sits below a preference shares in terms of ranking. So the preference shares is considered to be a little bit superior compared to ordinary shares. But what the preference shares, the main difference between the ordinary and the preference shares from an investor perspective is that the preference shares gives you a periodic return. So at a particular time, based on the structure, when it comes to market, the preference shares might state that they will pay interest quarterly or semi-annually at a particular interest rate. And you as an investor can have this income coming into you. That's the big difference. With an ordinary share, you don't have that. You only benefit from or get return from an ordinary share if the company pays dividends, one, and if the stock price, the stock that you bought, the ordinary share, appreciated in value. So if you bought it at $10 and it's now trading at $15, that's a $5 appreciation. And of course, you actually get that when you realize the gain by actually selling. So for the ordinary shares, it's a lower level of the preference shares. You earn from the ordinary shares by capital appreciation and dividends. While for the preference shares, you have that fixed return, fixed interest coming into you in terms of cash flow. And it is a superior ranking compared to the ordinary shares.
All right. So then the person who holds a stock or owns a stock, we refer to them as?
Shareholders.
Awesome. All right. So at this point, I'm going to take a pause from our conversation and have our guest or audience member call in with her question. So welcome, Ladio. Please tell us your full name and what you do. Then you may go ahead and state your question.
Thank you, Henika. I am Ladia Young, Minister of Religion. My question for you, Denise, is what are some of the entitlements of a shareholder?
Thank you, Ladia, for that question. So the entitlements of a shareholder, that's an investor that has ownership in a public listed company, are a number of entitlements. You have the right for your voice to be heard, and this is done at the company's annual general meeting, in which you are given the annual report of the company. And of course, you're expected to peruse that document. Any questions that you may have, any concerns, if you're not liking a particular trajectory that the company is pursuing or a decision that they have made, you have that right to get up, stand up at that AGM, and to pose your question. And it is expected that your question be answered. And of course, if you're not comfortable, you have the right to continue to probe. You have the right to vote. So in the directors, members being given an additional term to continue to lead the board, you have that right to vote. If you're not physically there, you can complete a proxy form and send that in. You have the right to make a request to this company, even if it's not at the AGM, because you are a registered shareholder of this company. If it is that the company declares a dividend, that they have paid dividends, you have the right to receive this dividends. So if you have not received the dividends for whatever reason, you can probe and you can investigate to ascertain. They have the right to actually investigate to see what was the issue. And if it was that you were not paid, for you to receive the payment as a registered shareholder.
Interesting.
Those are some of the rights that you have.
Right. Thank you so much for that response, Denise. And so we continue. I'll pick up from where we left off. So we talked about IPO, APO, prospectus, who's a shareholder, the preference share and the common share and so on. As it relates to, you know, a beginner's guide to these terminologies, what are some of the other terms that you think as a beginner we ought to know? Perhaps what we can do at this point, Denise, is to kind of take it to your own title and your role at Victoria Mutual Wealth Management. So you are manager, bond trading, equity and stock brokering. Now, perhaps what you can do right here is just to kind of give us a little difference between what is a bond and what is a stock.
Okay, that's sure. Sure. So a beginner's guide, Eniko, is for you to understand the difference between a bond and a stock. Because when we speak about investment, different investment classes, the typical ones that comes up is stocks, bonds, whether it be mutual fund or unit trust. So you want to understand what these mean. They are not saving accounts. And the typical person understand and comprehend what is having a savings account. So let us start with stocks. So stocks is essentially an ownership in a company. It's having, whether it's one unit, 1,000 units, is having a unit ownership in our company. So a company, let us use Victoria Mutual Investments, for example, is listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange. You have decided to buy a share of that company. That is what you essentially hold is a stock. Your ownership comes in the form of buying it based on the price that it's trading at. So if it's currently trading, it means that it's in the secondary market. It's not an IPO. And we had discussed what an IPO is. So after the company did that initial public offering, and a day after, a month after, you decide to buy that stock, you can buy the stock. Because it's trading on the secondary market. It's trading every day. And every day, you're able to go on, buy on the bid. And if you need to sell, you can also sell on the offer. So the stock is an ownership in a company. You purchased this ownership based on where the stock is trading. It's on the secondary market. Or if you're doing an IPO, it would come with a particular price that it's coming to the market at, you'll be able to purchase it at that price as well. Well, on the other side of the fence is bonds. So the big difference with a bond and a stock is similarly to the difference that I articulated for preference shares and ordinary stock. With a bond carries, in most cases, a fixed maturity date. There are bonds that are perpetual, that essentially doesn't have a maturity date. What the bond is a company or a sovereign, it could be a government, says to bondholders, I am looking to borrow money and I want to borrow money, for example, 10 years, and I'm able to pay you an interest of 6% to borrow this money. And at the end of 10 years, I will return the amount that you have loaned me. But between now and the 10 years at the end of maturity, every 6 months, I will pay you this interest of 6% semi-annually. So that's the big difference with the bond. So the sovereign or the corporation, they too are looking to raise funding for the corporation to expand the business, to grow the business. For the sovereign, the government of that country is looking for capital to be able to do the requirements of a government, to fund infrastructure projects, bridges, etc., to provide healthcare, to provide education. So the commitment is, I will pay you a certain interest rate. And of course, as it relates to the interest rate, it all depends on the quality, the rating. You'll be hearing the name, the rating of this company or this sovereign. If it is considered to be a company or sovereign that has a superior rating, meaning that they are not considered to default in the sense that you feel comfortable giving them your money, they will not, within that 10-year period, decide that I won't pay you. I won't pay you because of whatever financial challenges that they may have. And of course, the higher the quality of who is looking to raise the money, the lower the interest rates. Risk and reward goes hand in hand. So if it's a sovereign or a company that is considered to be very risky, their balance of payment is huge, they're not doing very well, they're not from their core businesses, they're not earning, they would have to offer a higher interest rate. But as an investor, you need to decide if you want to go on that journey with them. So that's the difference with the bond. You have this periodic cash flow that is coming into you semi-annually or quarterly, depending on the structure, that you can in turn use to plan. While on the stock, you only earn based on dividend payment. And dividend is not carved in stone, meaning that the company has to pay it. It's really a decision that the board makes. So if the company is on a growth path, it's a new company, they just did their IPO, you might not be seeing dividends paying maybe in the first 3 or 5 years, because what is expected to happen is that as they grow and their profitability increases, it's plowed back into the business to continue to grow. Yes, so that's essentially it, the difference between bond and stock.
Thank you. All right. So we're going to leave it right here. I know we're going to have to touch base again to go through several other things that we didn't get a chance and time would not have allowed for us to do. So at this point, I take this opportunity to say thank you so much, Denise Marshall-Miller, manager of bond trading, equity and stock broking with the Victoria Mutual Wealth Management Limited. Thank you, Denise.
It has been my pleasure. I look forward to speaking to you again, Enika.
Absolutely. And please do share where our audience members can connect with you.
Sure. So at Victoria Mutual Wealth Management, my email address is denise.marshall-miller@myvmgroup.com. And you may contact me at 876 960-5000-3. I'll be more than happy to speak with you, or the team at Victoria Mutual Wealth will be more than happy to speak to you as you grow your knowledge base, and of course, achieve or aim to realize financial independence.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. So we continue to give away JSE branded tokens and gift baskets and so on. So what you can do to win, remember, retweet this episode, share that Jamstock X on Twitter, tag at the Entrep U, and tell us the role of Suzette Price at the Jamaica Stock Exchange. And she was last week's guest. Of course, you'll be entered to win. That's all you have to do. We'll pick a few winners and advise. It's now time for the JSE Insider, where we give you inside information on happenings and updates by the Jamaica Stock Exchange. Resumption of cruise tourism expected in August. As the local economy continues to recover from the fallout caused by the novel coronavirus pandemic, the tourism sector, which is one of the most severely affected, is now finalizing plans to homeport a cruise vessel from the Norwegian Cruise Line Company ahead of the resumption of cruise activities slated to commence in August. Minister of Tourism Edmund Bartlett, who made the announcement, said that the venture will see the resumption of cruise tourism on the island following a halt of the industry since the outbreak of the pandemic last year. We look forward to welcoming them back to our shores, and I'm confident that this important partnership will aid in our efforts to rebuild our tourism sector and boost our economy overall, Bartlett said. Thank you for listening to the Jamaica Stock Exchange, a new podcast, a podcast of the Jamaica Stock Exchange with your host, Henika Watkiss-Porter. We trust that we answered your questions relating to investment terminologies, that you were a little more educated than before you listened, right? I trust that happened. Remember to join us next week for another educational episode as we help you to demystify the capital market. To stay in touch or to learn more about the Jamaica Stock Exchange, you can head over to jamstockx.com to register for a free account. Remember to send us your feedback at podcast@jamstockx.com or on social media at JamstockX. The Jamaica Stock Exchange and You is produced by Henika Watkiss-Porter of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. You can find it at henikawatkissporter.com to get leadership and entrepreneurship lessons from guests like the JSE's Managing Director, Marlene Street Forrest, from Lisa Nichols, from Seth Godin, and a host of others. That's all for today. Until next time, remember, as Warren Buffett says, rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, don't forget rule number one. Take care.